Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, joined by Wes Hodkiewicz, coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, a short week, lots of injuries for the Packers, lots of injuries for the Bears. More injuries occurred during the game, one of these Thursday night clashes. And at the end of the day, a victory the Packers absolutely had to have.
Unbelievable, Mike. When you look at just the overall sheer dominance of this victory, it didn't look like that early on, with it being as tight as it was at halftime, but 32-13 on first downs, 406 yards of total offense to 189. Look at the time of possession Mike McCarthy was talking about, 39-36 to 20-24. The Chicago Bears didn't get in the red zone offensively. I mean, this is top to bottom. People were talking about they wanted to see the second half. Well, where's the sense of urgency? Why can't they finish? That was one of the best second halves of Packer football I think you're ever going to see.
Yeah, I think my favorite moment in the post game was, I know your favorite moment in Aaron Rodgers' post game press conference was that sweater he walked out.
Unbelievable.
The Big Lebowski sweater there. But my favorite moment was when Aaron was asked if there was a little fire lit under him after the sack fumble touchdown that Chicago scored, and he just said yes. And I think that pretty much says it all. I believe he was 20 out of 24 passing after that sack fumble put the Packers down 10-6, and it was complete domination by the Packers, both time of possession, the three straight touchdown drives, you name it, the Packers controlled it from then on.
Yeah, and reading your story on Packers.com, I thought it was kind of funny too. He was followed up on that question by asking, you know, is there anything else you want to elaborate on that? I don't think I need to. He didn't. That was disheartening for the offense at that point in time because the defense was doing such a great job of completely neutralizing Chicago's own offense. And it just looked like one of those games that if the Bears were going to win it, they were going to have to score off turnovers. And that was one play where they did. But the way that the offense responded, all those drives, I mean, we're talking like 14-play series, 8 plays, 88 yards or whatever it was.
Right.
And then you saw the big three of Ty Montgomery, Randall Cobb, and Devontae Adams really come together. 374 yards of total offense between those three guys. Without having a running game, being able to use Montgomery the way they did, you know, a little bit of a peppering of Cobb in the backfield as well. Aaron Rodgers had weapons, and he was able to make the most of them in that opportunity.
Yeah, this spread them out, you know, 5 wide or 4 wide with Cobb or Montgomery in the backfield, that really became, I guess you'd say, the staple offensive formation for the Packers. And, you know, the curious thing is how much was this dictated strictly by the situation at running back and the opponent you're playing and the short preparation time and all that, and how much of this is what we're going to see from the Packers going forward, because Eddie Lacy's not going to be healthy anytime soon. We know that James Starks is still going to be out for a little while. Nile Davis, it's not like he's going to be able to learn the entire playbook in one extra long weekend. Don Jackson, you know, fresh up off the practice squad, hurts his hand and leaves the game. We don't know how long he might be sidelined. So the Packers may have found something on Thursday night that they're going to have to lean on maybe more than they ever thought they would, given what we talked about in the preseason about the focus on the run and pounding the run and being that purely balanced team. They may not be able to necessarily get back to that anytime soon.
No, but you're able to replicate that production. They did that with a lot of short passes, you know, creating favorable, you know, down and distance situations, second and fives to second and fours, and really being able to just control the overall tempo of that game. And what impressed me the most about that run game, Mike, you look at, you don't have Eddie Lacy, you don't have James Starks, but running between the tackles, Ty Montgomery and I should say Randall Cobb also were really effective at doing that. The 30-yard gain, the season high for Montgomery on that one play, was something that was completely generated up the middle. So to be able to work off that offensive line with the performance that they turned in, I thought that really said a lot about Montgomery and what he's picked up at that position, being able to see those holes.
That was a great run by Montgomery. The Packers had just given up that sack fumble touchdown. They're down 10-6. And then first down, Montgomery's in the backfield, and it's a draw play. Kind of catches the Bears a little bit off guard. And then, you know, his shifty moves up the middle. It's good blocking at front. He made a couple guys miss on the second level. All of a sudden, you've got 30 yards. You're out near midfield, and it seemed to be the spark that got everything going. Now, you're not going to give Ty Montgomery the ball 20 times in a game as a pure running back out of the backfield, but Montgomery and Cobb, I believe it was 14 combined carries, just enough to keep the Bears honest. But then, as you say, it was hitting the short passes, keeping Aaron Rodgers in rhythm, getting in favorable down and distance, and also then just plain executing on third down, because all it takes, as we know, is one little slip up, an off target throw or a drop pass on a third and short or something, and you have to punt. And the Packers just kept moving the chains.
Definitely, Mike. And two things too, that as you said, you have to be able to keep defenses honest. You can't let them get cued into the fact that you're not going to be running the ball. The Packers did that. I really like the tempo that McCarthy set in terms of also a lot of motion, a lot of different packages, switching things up. And then, as you said, third down, third and 9 for 16 in this game, the league leader in that statistic so far this season, the Green Bay Packers. So when you don't have your running backs, when you don't have the people that usually set the table for that, it was really key to continue that, because when there is some questions about the offense, you need to go back to what you're doing well. And third down efficiency is something the Packers have done exceedingly well this season.
Yeah, for sure. Well, plenty more to talk about from this 26-10 victory over the Chicago Bears. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, this offensive performance by the Packers, a handful of records, near records. Aaron Rodgers completes 39 passes, which breaks Brett Favre's franchise single game mark of 36, which was also set against the Bears back in 1993. Rodgers throws 56 passes altogether, which is his second most all time. He had 61 in a game last year. And then you have Davante Adams, 13 grabs, 132 yards, two touchdowns, all career highs for Adams, but one catch away from Don Hutson's franchise single game record of 14 back in 1942. So lots of statistical stuff for the numbers geeks like myself.
There's good stuff there, Mike. I mean, this is you pointed out perfectly. It's incredible in terms of what Adams did in this game, particularly in the second half. And he said he wasn't even really made aware of how close he was venturing into that territory until it was the final kneel down. And Luke Getsy, the receivers coach, came over to him and kind of told him, hey, you're going to finish one shy here of the record. he did mention, you know, he had two touchdowns in the second half. Might have had a third if he wasn't held on that one play. He said that could have been the one.
That could have been the one, yeah.
But
yeah,
the most catches by a Packers receiver in 64 years, pretty good consolation prize for him. And considering, you know, they weren't sure if they were going to have him in this game, for him to turn in that performance, and really, we talk so much about Montgomery, but just the broken tackles of these guys.
Yep.
Adams did it too, and it was incredible what they were able to do with yards after the catch.
Yeah, the Bears were pretty banged up in the secondary, maybe not quite as banged up as Green Bay. They had Tracy Porter, their starter. They put Porter on Jordy Nelson, and Nelson just had the one catch for 9 yards, converting that early fourth down in the first quarter there. And I have to admit I was wrong. I said on the show this past week after the Dallas game, I wasn't sure that the Packers offense would be able to, the passing offense would get back to a high functioning level with Jordy Nelson not really being a regular part of things. And they certainly found their groove and have three wide receivers, all with double digits in catches. Randall Cobb with 11 for 95 and a touchdown, and Ty Montgomery with 10 catches for the second straight game. Just a remarkable job of spreading the ball around, and as I said before, Aaron Rodgers staying in rhythm, and that the second half was truly impressive.
Yeah, Mike, and I don't know how much you remember about the 1994 New England Patriots, but going back to that, I mean, Leroy Thompson, Ben Coates, and Michael Tipson were the last three, the only three in NFL history to have 10 receptions each in a game. And until last night. And as you said, Jordy Nelson, in my opinion, filled his job duty, his job description. I'm sure he would have loved to have had 10 catches too.
Sure.
But Tracy Porter was the guy in that secondary. With all the injuries they've had, he is their top cornerback. And for the Packers to be able to take out the other areas, be able to find opportunities, in the middle of the field and over on Adams' side of the ball. That was a big key to this game, I thought. And I thought it said a lot about Jordy Nelson, too. He didn't go in the locker room and start spouting off about, I only had one catch for 9 yards. He was talking about the other guys in this offense because that's what it boils down to.
For sure.
You have, on any given night, as Ty Montgomery said, they have big playmakers in this offense. They believe it. They have confidence in that. And it's going to show. And there's 16 games over the course of the regular season where any given guy could step up. And in this particular case, they got three big-time performances out of those receivers.
Yeah, and this career night for Devontae Adams, it was interesting. Aaron Rodgers talked after the game about, not that Devontae Adams has ever had a lack of confidence, he could sense Adams' confidence growing as the game went along. They had a matchup against a backup cornerback, a backup DB that they were attacking. And Adams is talking to Rodgers on the sidelines about, hey, let's try this and let's try this. And Rodgers is like, when you're hearing that from a receiver who really feels like he's finding his groove and his confidence is growing, that's what you want as a quarterback. And so Rodgers kept going to him. They kept attacking that matchup. And, 13 for 132 and two touchdowns. If that's just, the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, with Devontae Adams, maybe this offense really starts to find something here moving forward.
Yeah, definitely, Mike. And Adams talked about this in the locker room afterwards, too. No matter what the outside voices are saying, they have their core. They have, the group that they focus in on and concentrate on. And it comes down to what the quarterback thinks, what his teammates think, and what his coaches think. And that's what Adams kept going back to. And even if there were some rough stretches last year with the ankle injury and then having the knee injury in Washington, Adams always had confidence that he could have this type of performance. And as you said perfectly, it wasn't just Adams. It was that whole offense in the second half. The swagger was back. Yeah. And it was a different vibe that we haven't seen in the past few weeks. It was just a confidence that, you know what, on this given play, we're going to move the football on you. And we're going to do it in a variety of different ways. And for Adams to bring in that performance, for everyone to catch the amount of passes that they had.
Yeah.
I mean, 56 pass attempts, 39 completions. It's on both Rodgers and the receivers to make the most of that.
Yeah.
And certainly the connection was definitely there.
Yeah, I thought the play that really got Adams going was that short touchdown pass early in the third quarter. He wasn't open.
Right.
But he made a great move with the ball in the air to maneuver his body to get around and haul in that short touchdown against tight coverage, and I think his night really took off from there.
And Adams said, too, in the postgame locker room, those are the plays he wants to make. He wants to make sure that Aaron Rodgers has confidence in those 50-50 type of plays, that not only is Adams going to protect the football, he's going to come down with it, and that definitely was a big launching off point for this offense.
Yeah, for sure. Well, we'll keep talking about this Packers victory after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, we would be remiss here if we didn't talk about the defense and the effort that unit put forth. We talked all week about how banged up they were in the secondary. Sam Shields goes on IR. Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins are out. So you've got basically your number four and five cornerbacks, Ladarius Gunter and Dimitri Goodson, elevated to starting positions. And no, this wasn't Dak Prescott. Brian Hoyer gets hurt, and Matt Barkley and another backup comes in. But boy, it seemed right from the get-go, the Bears, nothing was going to come easy in the passing game for Chicago, even against a depleted secondary. And props to Gunter, in my opinion, for really bouncing back from some rough moments against the Cowboys.
Yeah, this was a big game for Ladarius Gunter, I thought, because you're going to have that where you're going to have a down performance, but it's all about how you respond. And I thought it was really telling what Dimitri Goodson in his first NFL start talked about in the locker room was that, this wasn't, they don't read everything, but they heard what everybody was asking them. You don't have Sam Shields, you don't have Quentin Rollins, you don't have Demaryius Randall. Are these guys really going to be able to handle the job?
Yeah.
And he's like, we sort of took that to heart a little bit. And they went out there with a big chip on their shoulder, wanting to show that they could handle this. And you're right. I mean, there's going to be an entirely different beast next week in the Falcons. But you play the team that's in front of you. And Gunter specifically matched up against Elshon Jeffrey, I thought did a tremendous job against him, and he was physical. And I thought his length really showed in that game. The Packers had 9 pass deflections in this contest.
Yeah.
The Bears had 10 completions. They didn't make anything easy on them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think when you talk about, and I read that in your story on the website about Gunter playing physical, not only did maybe he get away from that a little bit against the Cowboys, but when a young cornerback like that is up at the line of scrimmage and playing physical that way, that's a sign of confidence. It's it's a sign that he's really sure of what he's doing out there and believing that he's going to get the job done. He's not on his heels. He's not, you know, playing not to lose, so to speak. And I really liked the way those young corners for the Packers played aggressively in this game and give credit to the front to the defensive front as well. Maybe, you know, one run there by Kadeem Carey leaked out, but other than that one, you know, the Bears weren't getting a whole heck of a lot on the ground. And you know, that pass rush, just ask Brian Hoyer, right? I mean, Clay Matthews and Julius Peppers completely sandwich him. Not that anybody was trying to hurt anybody, but and too bad for Hoyer that he broke his arm. But that's the kind of pass rush the Packers have displayed this year. And when the two guys from opposite edges just come in and collapse everything, that's what you like to see.
Yeah, definitely. Then you also had Nick Perry getting that sack there, now 5.5 on the season. After review, a really good call.
Great challenge by Mike McCarthy there to get the sack. It turned a 3rd and 9 into a 3rd and 20 when the game was still very much in the balance.
It was, and I'm sure Nick Perry appreciated it too, being able to extend his career high for the season. And then Perry ends up getting his first career interception late off of pressure that the Packers defensive front had. I just thought they were really economical about the way they went about their pass rush. I mean, it wasn't like they had, you know, 12 sacks in this game, but they got the hits on Hoyer and Barkley when they mattered at key points in the game. They were able to generate that pressure, but at the same time, they didn't get out of their lanes and allow big plays to develop. And that was one of the things that Goodson talked about, too. I mean, they discussed this in the secondary. You can have hitches. You can have slants. Let them get those yards. Not let them, but I mean, you're willing to concede that. Shade away from the big plays.
Yep.
And that's what the Packers did. Whether it was the run or the pass, they didn't give up big plays. The Bears might have gotten a few yards here and there. They finished with only 189, but there wasn't that big one that kind of was one of the things that hurt them against Dallas, and I thought that was a big difference in this matchup.
Yeah, and kind of a funny moment, humorous moment there when Blake Martinez, the rookie linebacker, grabs his first career interception off a deflection, a great play by Morgan Burnett to deflect that ball. And it was almost as though Martinez forgot that you can get up and run in the NFL after you fall down and nobody touches you, and he signals for the first down, and then he's like, oh, I can take off running. All these guys are coming after me. We were just chuckling in the press box. It was funny to see, but also fun to see the Packers defense make a play like that and have something to celebrate.
Well, and I think it was he was getting made fun of a little bit too, because it was like the old college play where you got it, you went down, the play's over. And it's like, no, he had to get up, and as Martinez described it, all he could see were this barrage of offensive players coming from Chicago that no one only wanted to hit him, but they wanted to get the ball back. So it was about trying to protect the football and also protect himself.
Yeah.
He ended up getting probably the longest 4-yard return in NFL history for an interception, but certainly a big play for Martinez. I thought he's really come in, and especially at that point in the game when Jake Ryan wasn't in there to step up with him and Joe Thomas inside. I think that said a lot about him.
Yeah, for sure. Well, with that, we'll throw it to our final break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we can't close the show without talking about the Color Rush uniforms, the all-white. What'd you think?
I really liked them. And, you know, the guys were really quiet about it all week in the locker room, and rightfully so. I mean, they were coming off a pretty demoralizing loss against Dallas, and they didn't want to be talking about jerseys and, you know, pants and stuff. But I think everybody in the locker room afterwards had a pretty positive reaction to it based on what I heard. I mean, there's been a couple tweets on Twitter, too. I think David Bakhtiari pointed out the Stormtrooper uniform.
Stormtrooper look.
So I thought it was cool. I just think it was different. I mean, and also, as you pointed out before, to see the Green Bay Packers wearing white at home again, first time in since 1989
yeah,
that they've done that.
Yeah.
So it was a nice change of pace. And I thought for everybody involved, it was kind of a fun night overall.
Yeah, I think really what, to me, what made the all-white uniforms look good was that it was a night game, that it was under the lights. I think, you know, maybe we'll see it at some point, but I think the all-white in an afternoon game just wouldn't look quite so sharp. And obviously it helps that it's not raining and that the uniforms get completely muddy. Can you imagine what that would have looked like if this had been the Thursday night game last year against the Bears with that weather and those uniforms? That would have been a different story.
Yeah, the equipment guys would have had to go double on the detergent if that would have been the
maybe triple.
Yeah, but it was the one thing that was kind of fun about it too. You know, looking at Ty Montgomery after the game, they had all the grass stains and everything on there. But at the same time, it was something where it was neat to be able to see a different aspect, I thought, of Packer football. And I think everybody really embraced it. You saw, obviously, the different, you know, the coaches were wearing the Color Rush gear as well. So, and as Evan Siegel, our photographer, would tell you, that's a lot easier to shoot, too. White's a nice color to shoot. It comes up well. So I think visually it probably was pretty appealing for everybody, too.
Looks good on the photos. Well, real quickly before we go, Vikings on the road at Eagles, Minnesota 5-0. Yep. Do they get to 6-0, or does Philadelphia hand Minnesota its first loss?
Carson Wentz has had a lot of success in that region of the country. So I'm going to still go with the Eagles here. I think that we finally get done with our last unbeaten.
So the Packers come Monday will be only one game out of the NFC North?
According to Weston Hockwitz, stats and info, yes.
All right, we'll go with that. And that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.